But this morning we are continuing our series on what a healthy Christian looks like. And you know, we've spent the last number of weeks looking at how a healthy Christian lives their lives, okay? How does a healthy Christian live their life? And so, you know, if you remember, we looked at how we choose to make no more excuses about following Jesus with all that we are. That was the first message, that we don't make any excuses anymore. We stop making excuses about following Jesus, about how we can't do this or we can't do that, or we have a hard time with this, but we just say, no, we're going to move through that. We're going to move past excuses and move to action. And then we looked at how that we can use our God-given creativity, that God has given each one of us creativity in how to share the Word of God. And how to share the Word of God, how to reach people around us who are without faith in Jesus. And so that was another message there. And then last week, finally, we looked at how we are to understand God's mercy and that it leads to action, that as healthy Christians, as healthy followers of Jesus, we understand God's mercy and that mercy known is mercy shown. Mercy known is mercy shown. So if we know God's mercy, we will show God's mercy. Right? So that was that message last week. So let me begin the message this morning by asking you a question. I always love to start messages with a question because it gets you engaged, right? I mean, maybe you're kind of half asleep. Maybe you haven't had your coffee yet this morning, or maybe you need more popcorn. I don't know. But you know what? It's good to start with a question because then, you know, it gets you thinking a little bit. So let me begin with this question. Have any of you ever faced a challenge? Yeah, no, there's only a few people. No, has everyone, I think every one of us here has faced a challenge, I'm sure, at some point. Maybe you're facing one even today, right? Here we are. It's a funny question to ask, right? Obviously. Because I'm sure that every single one of us has faced a challenge at some point, of some sort of challenge at some point in our lives, right? Yes, amen to that. We've all faced a challenge, and that's true. And they just seem to keep coming, don't they? Challenge upon challenge upon challenge. Somebody say amen to that? It does. That happens, right? Every time we think we got through one, there's another one that shows up. Malcolm, I've been praying for your shoulder, and this morning you say, no, I think I've got a cold. It's like, what? Another thing and another? Come on, right? We got to pray through those challenges. But we are guaranteed, aren't we? We are guaranteed to face challenges in this lifetime, aren't we? That's a truth, right? That's true. My experience has been that how we view life's challenges really has an impact on how we view the working of the power of God in our lives. Do you hear what I'm saying there? How we view the challenges that we deal with in our life really has an impact on how we view the power of God at work in our lives and how God can do that. In fact, Jesus himself tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 45, that we will have challenges. And you can open your Bible if you want to Matthew chapter 5, 43 and 45, or you can follow along. This is what it says. The Amplified version of God's word says it in this way. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy, your fellow man, and hate your neighbor. I do that. That happens sometimes. You misread. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love, that is unselfishly seek the best or higher good for your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45 continues, so that you may show yourselves to be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on those who are evil and those who are good. And he makes the rain fall on the righteous, those who are morally upright, and the unrighteous, the unrepentant, those who oppose him. He makes the rain fall on the good and the bad. He makes the rain fall on those who love him and those who do not. So that's, Jesus says that himself. It's going to happen. We all deal with problems on a regular basis. Again, some of those are small problems. They don't tend to cause us too much stress. You know, small problems like which shirt am I going to wear today, or am I going to have this coffee or that coffee? Maybe those are big problems for some people. I don't know, but you know, they're small problems. They don't cause too much. And then there's other problems that just seem huge. They're almost impossible to wrap our minds around. They are big problems. And when we look at those problems, we get very afraid. We get very stressed out. It affects everything in us. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? How do we cope with the challenges that life often throws our way? What do we do when we hit a wall that things seem that they are absolutely insurmountable? What do we do? Well, this morning, I want to encourage you through the Bible, through God's word, to see every problem or challenge you encounter as an opportunity to look to God, to trust Him, that it's a chance to grow. Amen? Let me take a minute. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can view every challenge as an opportunity for growth. Lord, we thank you that we are not victims, Lord Jesus, of our circumstances, but that, God, you allow us into certain things, that certain things happen, Lord, around us that we can view in a healthy manner, that we can view these things as healthy believers this morning, as healthy Christians this morning, as opportunities to grow in our faith, opportunities to see your faithfulness. And so, Father, this morning, as we look at your word, as we look at the book of Acts in chapter 4 with Peter and John, Lord, that we would see through that story, Lord, through that word, God, of how these guys, in the midst of seeing amazing things happening in the church, experienced challenges and how they viewed those challenges. So, Jesus, I pray this morning as I speak, Lord, that your word would be clear. Holy Spirit, that you would speak through to each one of our hearts, God, that we would take what it is that you have for us from this message. Lord, that we would apply it to our lives, that it would be very real today. Thank you, Lord, that you have something fresh for us today, something that will impact us today, something that's going to encourage us and bless us today. Give us ears to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you have heard the name Chuck Swindoll before? Yeah. I like Chuck Swindoll. He has a great voice. I could listen to him preach for a long time. He's got a good preacher voice. Yeah? He does. He said this, and it's on the screen. Every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities, brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems. I like that. I really like that. You know, every day we encounter these things. They're opportunities, golden opportunities. So as we look at God's word today, we're going to read from the book of Acts chapter 4. Like I just prayed about Peter and John. They were facing some real challenges in the form of being threatened by the Jewish religious leaders to be punished if they continued to share about the power of Jesus to heal the sick and raise the dead. Like they were out there, they were preaching. They were telling people about the power of Jesus' name, the name above all names. And they were getting some flack for that. And so we're going to read God's word this morning and we're going to learn from that and see what God has to say to us through that. They had a choice to make. Peter and John had a choice to make when they were questioned and they were commanded to stop talking about Jesus by these powerful people who had arrested them and put them in jail. Would they see the challenge as an impossible thing to deal with, or would they see it as an opportunity for God to shine? So let's open our Bibles. Let's look in our Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verse 21 to 31. Acts chapter 4, 21 to 31, okay? And we're going to read, and you can follow along if you like. It'll be there as well. Oh, and by the way, if you're here this morning, I just wanted to mention, if you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible with you and you'd like to borrow a Bible, there are Bibles in the church, which is, I know it sounds odd that we would say, yes, what? There, of course, there's Bibles in the church. But we want Bibles to be accessible to you every Sunday. So if you don't have a Bible or you don't own a Bible, we want you to have a Bible so you can take it home and read it. But if you want to borrow a Bible, maybe you forgot your Bible or, you know, you don't like to bring your Bible or whatever, you can borrow a Bible because it's good to, you know, be able to flip through the Bible yourself and see the words yourself as well as on the screen, but to be able to have a Bible to study. Maybe there's a reference there you want to look at and see that's not on the screen. So they are available. They're in the foyer. They're in a little white cabinet. Joanne, you know where those Bibles are. So we can just, if anybody wants a Bible, you can find them in the little white cabinet that's on the wall over there in the foyer, and you're welcome to have a Bible there, okay? That's for you. Let's get into what God's word says there. In Acts chapter 4, verse 21 to 31. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them that what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why are the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here for this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And listen to this. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. Amen? Amen. You see, they were being obedient to what God was doing through their lives, right? They were being obedient to what God was doing through their lives, but yet still they had challenges that they had to deal with. And if these guys, Peter and John, if these are the disciples of Jesus himself had to deal with challenges, how much more should we expect them? By the way, let me remind you, Peter and John had just been part of some pretty amazing ministry, seeing a man who had been crippled for more than 40 years get healed in front of a lot of people. They had shared about Jesus' power, and the Bible says many more people who saw and heard this came to believe right away. So there was all of this amazing, like a miracle happens. This person who'd been crippled for over 40 years is healed. They share about the power of Jesus. People accept the Lord. They come into the church. All these amazing things happen. And then this happens right after that. These challenges, they're taken away. They're arrested. They're questioned. You see, even today, we have to be spiritually aware of what's going on around us. And we have to expect that when good things are happening, when we are being obedient to the call of God in our lives and trusting the Holy Spirit is at work, there's going to be pushback. There's going to be attack that's going to come. Because the enemy of our soul does not want us to continue serving Jesus. That's just the truth this morning. Peter and John did not let that take them down. They didn't let that happen. They were ready to deal with the challenge, and we can be also, because Jesus goes before us. Do you know that this morning? Jesus goes before you. You're not on your own. You're not at the front there just cutting the path. Jesus is in front of you, cutting the way through, and you're following him. So as we see this morning, we're going to see this morning, they turn those challenges into opportunities to praise God and to grow in their faith in Jesus, and we can do the same today. It only makes sense that we ask the question, why? Why does it seem that people spend so much time focusing more on their problems rather than the opportunities that may be there because of these challenges? Why do people do that? I mean, maybe we have some ideas, right? Maybe we have some ideas on why we kind of tend to focus on problems rather than looking at what are the opportunities that they bring to us. I think it has something to do with our human nature. When we're faced with challenges, we generally are predisposed towards one of two things. Anybody have an idea of what one of those two things are? Fight or flight. Fight or flight. Those are one of the two things that we're generally predisposed to. When dealing with stressful situations, we choose one of those two things. Fight. Well, when you're talking about a fight, okay, this is to stand our ground, to face the challenge, okay? To put up our dukes, to get ready for the battle. You can hit the next slide there, Leslie. Something like that, right? Okay? Like, you better be ready to fight because you're going to get taken down. So you got to stand your ground. You got to stand your ground. Sometimes you got to fight. You got to know when to fight. But then there's flight, okay? There's flight as well. And that's getting out of the situation, okay? Like, that's running. Get as far away from the challenge as you can. You don't want to deal with that right now, so you flight. You fly. You go. You get out of there, right? And hopefully this guy's flying away from what can only end terribly wrong, terribly bad. If you want to see an interesting video, Jim and Bev have some great videos from being in the Azores, right? With bulls running and people running away like, you know, crazy. Like, I just watching those videos, you're like, what on earth are people thinking? This is what they do for fun, right? But I mean, that's like, you know, get out of there, get out of that, fly, run, get out of there, right? Fight or flight, fight or flight. And while sometimes the temptation is that we should always fight, right? Like, you know, if you just think about it, we should always fight. That's the temptation to think that way, to stand our ground, to fight. But that can be a mistake. That can be a mistake because getting away from a situation might exactly be what's needed so that you can come back to it when you have a clear head. So you can come back to it when you've kind of prayed about it, when you can focus on it. Because sometimes when you're ready to fight, you're not thinking about, where's my head at here? Is this smart? Is this a good idea? You're pumped up. You're ready to rock and roll, right? It's not always the best thing. So sometimes it's better to realize that it's better not to fight. But the same is true also about flight, because there are definitely times when we need to take a stand. There are times when we need to take a stand. And the key to knowing the difference of when to do what actually is godly discernment. That as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, you can ask God for godly discernment to know when to fight or when to flight. Okay? We can ask God for that. He can tell us. He will let us know. We need God's wisdom to know what to do and when to do it. So here's the main idea. Here's the main point. Next time you find yourself facing a challenge, ask God to give you wisdom to know what to do. Ask these two questions. These two questions you can ask. Okay? Number one, is God bringing me this challenge for my growth? Is God bringing this challenge before me for my growth? Could this situation or difficulty I'm facing be something I need to work through to grow in my faith? That's question number one. Question number two you should ask, is this spiritual attack? Is this spiritual attack? Do I need to rebuke the enemy and trust God to work this out in my life? Now, you need discernment for that. Because there are some times where we don't want to deal with what God is bringing and we just say, this is the enemy, I'm going to rebuke that right now. And that's a mistake because it's not. It's something God's put before you for your growth. And then there are times because, listen, let's not be foolish and let's not think that there is no such thing as spiritual warfare because there is spiritual warfare going on right now. Every day, 24/7. The enemy doesn't take a break. The enemy doesn't say, hey, I'm off on Sundays. It's all the time. So be aware. Be aware. You don't have to be afraid of that stuff. You just have to be aware. So ask one of those two questions. Is God bringing me this challenge for my growth, or is it spiritual attack when you're determining whether you should be flying or fighting? Okay? That's the main idea. So when we look back again at Peter and John, the apostles, they're threatened, and then they're released from being imprisoned. They could have become totally stressed out, right? Like, they are getting grilled by, like, the top religious leaders. These aren't just kind of, you know, some dudes that were like, hey, I don't really like what you're saying, so you're going to come with me, and I'm going to tie you up here and capture you. No, these were powerful people that were really giving them the gears about what they were saying and what they were doing. They could have gotten totally stressed out. They could have gotten completely fearful and discouraged by what was happening to them. And that's what the enemy would have wanted them to do, right? But they chose to see the bigger picture by trusting God and the possibilities in what he might do. Church, listen to me. We need to see the same bigger picture. We need to see the same bigger picture in our lives today. In our challenges, we need to see the opportunity that God has put there for us instead of getting discouraged and fearful. Amen? You see, the problem that is that in my experience, has been that we as followers of Jesus can be really quick to flight sometimes. Yeah? Sometimes we can be really quick to flight. We can be very quick to that. To run. To try to get away when we get into a challenging time. And often before asking God if we need to work through this for our growth. Why is that? Why is that? Why does it seem like followers of Jesus sometimes seem very quick to run? Well, let me talk about that. There's a couple reasons for this. One is that it can be an issue of discipleship. And the other is an issue of depth in our faith. Do we take responsibility for our discipleship? Hello? Do we take responsibility for our discipleship? Are we spending time? Are we studying God's word? Are we taking time to pray, to be around other believers, to practice what we are learning from God? And all of these are needed for any disciple to grow stronger in the Lord. Then the other second thing, so that's discipleship. The second thing that we need is to go deeper with Jesus. To go deeper with Jesus, to have our roots of our life go down deeper, to be grounded with Jesus at the core. The only way that we can that can happen is when we're rooted in God's word and in fellowship with his people. There's no other way around that, okay? There's no other way around that. So what happens when we have a shallow-rooted faith? What happens when you have a shallow-rooted faith? Well, what happens is we're offended and we're upset at the drop of a hat. Yeah? That happens. We get offended, we get upset, we get hurt at the drop of a hat, and instead of dealing with challenges, we run away from them. And we decide to hold on to hurts instead of doing the hard work of dealing with our issues. You see, we have to understand that that's not what God wants for any of us. That's the challenge in the church today. We got to go deeper, friends. And nobody can do that for you. You have to go deeper with Jesus yourself. If you want to grow and have real depth in being a disciple of Jesus, you need to first be committed to Jesus, to God's word, and to his church. You simply can't go around, get around any of those things, no matter how much you might justify that in your own mind and in your own heart. You can't get around that. You need Jesus, you need his word, and you need the church. Amen? You see, make the choice to do that. Make the choice to do that. Because God wants to give you every good thing that he has. And he gives it through those three things. He gives it through those three things. He gives you every good thing through Jesus, through his word, and through his church. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7 reminds us, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in truth, in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Like, write that verse down. Write that verse down. Verse 7, "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught." You'll be strong in him. How many of you are Star Wars fans here? Boom, I see that hand. I see that hand. He is strong with the force. You want to be strong in the Lord? Do you want to be strong in the Lord? Then listen to what that says. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. Peter and John could have become bitter after being falsely accused, falsely criticized, and being held. They could have chosen to become angry at the people who were abusing them, but instead they took the opportunity to learn and to grow. And this illustrates this perfectly. Today, you may find yourself in a place where you feel that you could retaliate against someone for what they've done or said to you. And I would encourage you to trust Jesus to help you overcome evil with good. Is someone doing something? Is someone saying something? Is there something going on that's just really wrong? Then overcome that with good. Bring the opposite spirit and watch what God does. Peter and John went back to the other believers and they told them what had happened. Not so that they could be consoled and about what had happened to them, but so they could pray together with the other believers there. And that's when more amazing things even took place. Again, verse 31, what does it say? After this prayer, the meeting place shook. Do you think that's a coincidence? Do you think that's a coincidence this morning that just like, you know, that this happened, they prayed together? Oh, it was just a coincidence. The meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. There's power when we gather together and we pray. There's power there. God moves. What I love about this is that all of the believers were able to take what had happened to Peter and John, and they were able to use it as a chance to learn more about the way that God works through challenges in individual people's lives and in the life of the church. Do you see that? Right? They came back. It was an opportunity to learn, to grow together, and they grew together. Peter and John found a greater opportunity to praise God for his working in their trials. Many people only turn to God when they're in trouble, right? Many people only turn to God when they're in trouble. And it's one of the things that really breaks my heart. When I watch people turn to God when they're in trouble, and then as soon as they're out of trouble, they're gone. Like, that is not true faith. That's not following Jesus. That's not being a disciple. That's getting what I need, and I'm out of here. And as a pastor, sometimes you kind of think, what is going on here? Friends, we have to be rooted deep in him. We got to be rooted deep in him. The apostles chose to praise and thank God in a way that gave a real witness to their confidence that God could turn all things around for good. If you go through a trial and God leads you through that trial, come and tell me, because I want you to share that testimony. We need to hear that. Yeah? We need to hear that because it encourages us and we can learn and grow from that. So again, here's the big idea. That we are healthy Christians when we trust the Lord to use our challenges to be a greater witness of the Holy Spirit's power to help us see possibilities when others only see problems. That's the big idea. Now, you might be here today and your challenges are nothing like the challenges that Peter and John were dealing with. Nothing at all. But perhaps your challenges have to do with the one place that you spend most of your time during the day. Perhaps in our modern day, one of the greatest challenges is in your workplace, living as light and salt in our workplace with our coworkers and others that we're around every day of the week. When we deal with challenges in the workplace, we can kind of tend to sometimes have this idea in our mind that, well, this is separate from my spiritual life. We can sometimes have this idea, or we might say even to ourselves, well, this is my work. It's not church, and it's not part of my spiritual life. Have you ever been there, right? You ever been there before? Yeah, you know what? This is work. This is totally separate. I can't, no, there is no divide. There is no secular and spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Everywhere you are, as a gospel-carrying person, as one who has the fire of God in them, is a place for you to share Jesus. Appropriately. It's a place for you to live your life with God as salt and light. It's the truth this morning. Our work environment is one of the greatest places to show what God has done in our lives. And I can think of a number of conversations I've had with some of you here around work and being a Christian. and the challenges there and the difficulties and some of the testimonies and some of the praise of what God's doing in those situations, in those places. And it's good. It's good to be in those places because they need you there. Yeah, John. I mentioned him a few weeks ago. John Bozak, again, a member of our person in our congregation, John and Ev. John's in the works at the, they call him in to be a jailer, right, in Seashelt there. And he takes that opportunity with people. Again, I think I mentioned captive audience, right? So he gets to share the gospel with them. But he takes that opportunity. And I'm sure those people are not happy to be incarcerated. Most people aren't. But he has a way. Because God's given him just this ability to be really straightforward and honest and hear what the Lord's saying and share that. And people are blessed through it. It's awesome. It's totally awesome. In our culture, it's interesting. In our culture, we can show integrity as a follower of Jesus simply by working hard and working honestly. You know, why do I say that? Why do I say that? Because it seems to me in our culture today, people are always trying to take advantage of every situation to take it easy. Oh, well, there's nobody watching me, so I can kind of just relax. Again, there's that idol that I talked about last week, I believe, that idol of comfort and ease. Right? That happens. So we can share truth. We can be honest in Christ. We can have integrity, not necessarily by even saying a whole lot, by just working hard and having integrity and not leaving early from work and not showing up late to work and spending the time, putting the hours in. I've asked Gail to come and join me to share just for a couple minutes about how we can look at challenges in our workplace and that we can see those challenges as opportunities. Gail, why don't you just come and share for a few minutes on some thoughts as we've talked over the week.
And as you were speaking, all of a sudden my notes went out the window. Sorry. I guess what I want to talk about is growing up in my father would talk to me about, he would talk to me about the workplace, and he was a mechanic and a welder, and so a lot of times in his younger days, he would be flown into camp to work in really not good conditions. There's nothing like working 12 hours under a cat in mud. And I'd say, well, Dad, why did you do it? He said, I had a job to do. And I said, well, how was it? He said, you know, a lot of times it was pretty rough. You know, they knew I was a Christian because, you know, they knew my dad. Now, a lot of you wouldn't know, my grandfather was Norman Stewart. Drove the McGavin's Bun Wagon and would go up and down the coast preaching, literally. He would walk in to the back of the restaurants and, how can I help you? Can I pray for you? And I mean, so my dad grew up in the shadow of this. So they knew when he went into the workplace, he was a Christian. And he says, you know, oh, they'd make it tough on you. You know, they knew I didn't drink. They knew I didn't swear. They knew the way I lived my life. And he said, you want to talk about being picked on? I said, what'd you do? He said, I learned to pray a lot. I said, pray a lot. He says, you know, when you're the mechanic and you're the guy stuck in the mud, nobody wants to be with you because it's cold and it's wet and you're by yourself. And, you know, so you work on it and you get a lot of chance to pray. And you pray for the ones you know you're going to meet when you get up out of that mud to go into the camp house to have dinner or on the pilot on the way back. And, you know, sometimes we don't see that until later. And I think about it, and about 40 years later, I happened to be up at my dad's, and a fella came up and talked to him, and he was in dire straits. He wasn't well. His wife was terminally ill. He says, I need to talk to you, Doug. And I said, I'm listening to this. And I said, okay, what's happening here? He says, you know, I know I was one of those guys in camp, and I know the hard time we gave you, how we ridiculed you for who you were and what you stood for, why you did what you did, and we made fun of you. But I need you now, I need you to tell me about that, why you stuck, why you did this, who God is, who is this Christ you always talk to us about. And he was able to lay out the whole salvation message because of one thing. The guy said what stood out to all of us the most and kind of bugged us at the time, is you were a Christian and you didn't cut and run like a lot of them did. He said, we knew if we were just tough on you, you'd leave. Later on, I asked my dad, he said, Gail, if I'd have cut and run when things got tough, who would have been the light? He said, I knew I was the only Christian as a mechanic and a welder in that company, but even in a lot of the places that would fly in, if I wasn't the light, who would have been the light? And sometimes we don't see, and sometimes it takes 40 years, thank God. For me, it's happened sometimes a little quicker. I've been able to see the fruit. But you know, the challenge is how God is leading. It's not, you know, sometimes it's, you know, easy and sometimes it's not. But it says, you know, it says, my sheep know my voice. And as Dad would take the time to pray, he knew the voice. He knew what to say because God would tell him. And this is where I've got to stop and check my notes because my notes were all over the place. This is what wasn't what I had planned on saying, but this is what God laid on my heart. You see, our great mission field is our workplace. Sometimes it's your customers you minister to, and sometimes it's your suppliers, those that bring the stuff you have to sell and vend. Sometimes, and most often, it's just our coworkers. The time we get to show love, patience, long-suffering. Last night we watched the movie Woodlawn, and what hit me really was at the end of the movie, Hank said, it's easy to love those that love you. It's a lot harder to love those who don't. God didn't call us just to love the easy. He called us to love the ones that didn't like us, that persecuted us. That's what sets us apart. That's what being a Christ follower means. I think back, Kevin and I, we like to garden. And one thing we've learned is herbs. And a lot of people think, you know, if you just put them in this beautifully prepared soil, it's just perfect. They'll grow, and they will. But they'll grow and they'll bolt. They don't develop flavor. Because they grow so quick and flower, they lose it. But you take that herb and you plant it in not so great soil. Maybe it's a little hard. Maybe it doesn't have all the nutrients. Doesn't have the ideal growing condition. It will grow a little slower, but it will develop flavor. So when you go to cook with it, it flavors that food. It becomes the salt. Mm. It becomes that taste that you want for that dish. And you know, that's the same way God grows character in us. If we're not given the ideal growing conditions that cause us to have to challenge, that cause us to have to look at it and go, okay, God, what's you in this situation? How do I represent you? What's not easy about this? We learn to trust in him. You learn to listen. It's because you're growing in adverse conditions. It produces godly character and those godly traits in us, trusting and knowing that God's voice that comes no other way than by listening and doing. God doesn't ask me to do the easy. He challenges me to do the impossible.
Amen.
And when I totally rely on his strength and his wisdom and bring his light into that situation, it's his blessing into that situation. It's his kingdom that gets glorified. And really, that's what we're called to do.
Amen. Thanks, Gail. Thank you. I'm going to invite Dan, team, come on up. And we're just going to close this morning. I want to conclude this morning with inviting you to look at the challenges that you face in a different way. Can you do that? Can you look at the challenges that you face on a regular basis in a different way? Whatever they are, trusting that God can work through you to see them become an opportunity that will show the power of Jesus' name. That's what it's all about, friends. That the power of Jesus' name would be shown in and through us. That a world that is without Jesus would see that and that they would want to know more. I want to invite you to ask Jesus this morning to help you to believe that he will provide you with all the blessings, all the grace, all the strength to withstand any trial that you're going through. Amen? Peter and John gave everyone proof that the Holy Spirit worked in them a higher level of confidence, joy, and spiritual maturity. And you can have that today. So if you're here this morning and you want to know Jesus in a greater way, I just want to invite you, if you wouldn't mind just standing with me, if you're able to stand this morning, if you could stand with me this morning. And I just want to pray over you. I want to pray over you this morning. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And the worship team is going to close with a song. But I want to pray with you this morning that Jesus would be seen in each and every one of our lives. His love, his power, his healing, his strength to overcome, his grace and his mercy. So can you stand with me this morning, and we're going to close.